Hello, and welcome to the Run With Ellie live show, the show that brings you stories from your everyday runners to professional athletes and other specialists in the running community who all share a common passion for the sport. I'm your host, Coach Ellie. I hope my podcast can help you change the way you live and the way you move, so in the long run, you're able to live a sustainable and healthy lifestyle that you deserve. The purpose of this podcast is to promote the love of running. Throughout my experience speaking with the individuals in the running community, I've found that many of us seek acceptance and relatability in some way, shape, or form. On Run With Ellie Live, I tie together the common pain points and solutions through the stories told by the special guests on the show. Each individual has a unique running journey and shares how running impacts the mind and body in the sport and outside of it, both mentally and physically. So stop being so hard on yourself. Tune in right here weekly for new motivational episodes with special guests to inspire you to change your life for the long run. Thank you once again for joining us on Run With Ellie Live. Please don't forget to support the show and our special show guests by clicking on the subscribe button in Apple Podcasts or whichever platform you choose to listen to the show on. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Run With Ellie Live podcast. It is December 15th, and it is so cold in New York City. My gosh. Arguably, you know, you want to be careful for that black ice out there, right, Jason?
Yes, that's correct, Ellie.
Yeah, you know, oh, man, I can't imagine what it's like in San Diego right now.
It's 70 degrees and sunny.
I love that. But before we introduce you formally, everyone, thank you for returning to the show. I hope that you subscribe to the podcast so you never miss a new weekly episode. And for everyone that is new on here, welcome. You joined just in time for a very special guest. And this person is actually my run coach. And we're going to be talking about a very interesting topic today, especially for all of my listeners that are more so recreational runners and beginner runners. So Jason, welcome, or what shall I say, Dr. Jason Karp, welcome to the Run With Ellie Live podcast for the third time.
Thank you very much. Yes. I don't think I've been on the podcast three times.
No, you have.
I know, but I think years it might be the only one I've been on three times.
I know. I mean, I feel honored, but you know, every coach needs a coach, and you're also a mentor to me, so I figured there was no better person to really have on here that many times. So moving on, how are you? How is everything?
Good. Life is great in Southern California.
Yeah? No black ice there?
There's California, nope. Those days are behind me.
Wow. Yeah, I'm sure many of us listening on here would love to be in San Diego right now, but we will be for the marathon in June, guys. Anyone who else is running that. But to not get really off topic, today we're going to talk about speed work and how that enhances a marathon runner's race, whether that is for injury prevention or for performance. So Jason, do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself before I dive into the questions?
Nobody wants to hear about me, Ellie.
Everyone wants to hear about you. Everybody wants to hear about you. Let's hear it.
I fell in love when I was a kid with the science of athletic performance, and it put me on the yellow brick road that I'm still following all these years later. And so I spend my time writing and speaking when there's no pandemic, and coaching great runners like you, and coming up with ways that I can help the community of runners train smarter and train better and realize their physical potential.
Thank you for saying I was a great runner. I appreciate that. I am, you know, to those of you listening on here, I am a coach and I'm an okay runner. I have work to do. And, you know, Jason, as my coach, has a lot to put up with, full disclosure. You know, I'm not
an easy person to coach because I'm a little bit stubborn, but who isn't these days slash ever? But I think that, you know, and Jason, I'm just going to speak for you. I think that Jason's approach to coaching is very different than other coaches because he really not only cares about the science, but he truly understands on an individualized basis how that ties into someone's needs and specific programming and, you know, how to progress them to the next level, whether that be, you know, getting them out of an injury or getting them to a specific time goal for any race, for really, even including track and field, right, Jason?
Yeah, I mean, I think the most important thing to me, maybe one of the reasons I'm so hard on you, one of the most important things to me as a coach is that the athlete truly understands why they're doing what they're doing, rather than just, you know, bark instructions to the runner and say, do this. I really want the person to understand the process, because then it really drives their decisions on what they're doing and why they're doing it, and, you know, rather than just follow what's on a piece of paper. You know, it's important that the runner take responsibility and ownership of what they're doing, and that can only come from a deep understanding. Like, a perfect example is, like, when I tell you to slow down your easy runs, I don't want you to just slow down your easy runs because I'm telling you to do it. I want you to deeply understand why I'm telling you to do that, because when you deeply understand and that directs your behavior, then when you step out the door and you go for a run, you take control over the pace you're running because you deeply understand why you're being asked to do it a certain way. And that's, you know, that's perhaps one of the more difficult aspects of coaching, is to get the person you're coaching to deeply understand the process and that there's a reason for doing things the way they're doing. And I think maybe one of the reasons that's so difficult is because that kind of goes against the way we're trained. And I mean trained the way we're trained behaviorally, not the way we're trained physically. Like, when you think about when we grow up, your parents always tell you to do something. And when you ask why, they say, because I said so. I'm your mother. I'm your father. I told you to do what you do. And so because we're behaviorally trained that way, just to listen to authority, it becomes difficult then as an adult to understand why. You know, parents don't often explain to their kids why they want them to do something. They just say, do it. And it's because I said so. And that's the parent's famous line. Because I said so. I'm your mother.
Yeah, no, I mean, and I, you know, if I had to guess, coach, I would have to guess that going easy on your easy runs is so that you could go really hard during your hard workout days, like such as 600 meter repeats on the track, for example.
That's one of the reasons, yeah. So that you go in.
And so you're polarizing the training, yeah. So that, you know.
You have to ready to get as much out of the workout as possible. But on a bigger scale, it runs a lot deeper than that. It's really about the rationing of fatigue and understanding that aerobic runs are meant to build you up, not to tear you down. And so all of the easy running that runners do, it is meant to build you up aerobically. It is meant to train aerobic metabolism. And you want to run at the slowest pace at which that enables that those adaptations to occur. And so on a small scale, yes, it's to prepare you for the hard, you know, to make sure you're not fatigued going into the hard workouts. But on a more grander scale, it's about understanding what the purpose of all those miles are and how to run those miles the most optimal way to get the benefit that you're trying to get out of it.
That makes sense. You know, thank you. See, this is perhaps what helps me to, you know, coach my runners. Thank you for, you know, elaborating on that. I mean, so right. Easy runs, what are easy runs? Or, you know, what, if I'm running, if I'm, let's say I feel like I'm running easy, right? But I definitely cannot speak to you when you're running next to me. Is that easy?
Well, no, then it's not. I mean, there was an easy way to measure our breath when we run. That would actually be a better method than using heart rate, because breathing is perhaps the most objective measure of the intensity of the work. And it's also reflecting the heart rate, and it's easy to measure heart rate, so everybody's got heart rate monitors. It's a little bit more difficult to objectively measure the breathing rhythm. But if you can't talk to the person next to you, then that gives you a very objective measurement or an objective indication that you're running too fast. Because the easy runs, you should be able to hold the conversation because you shouldn't be breathing that hard.
Thank you so much. And you know, that's the first time I've heard you talk about breathing like that. What's your rhythm? Do you have one? Your breathing rhythm.
See, the subject of my doctoral dissertation, and I looked at I looked at the coordination of breathing and stride rate in runners, and how it changes or changes in speed. So it's something that is a learned phenomenon that with experience, runners just subconsciously link the two rhythms, their stride rate and their breathing. And most runners, when they're running easy, they will run with a 3-to-1 or 4-to-1 step to breath ratio. And then as they run faster, that ratio tightens to a 2-to-1. Like when you're running at, say, 5K race pace, it can tighten to a 2-to-1 step to breath ratio. But it's not as tightly coupled in humans as it is in other animals. Other animals, the rhythm of their foot strike against the ground controls the rhythm of the breathing. But in humans, because there's more anatomical separation between what our legs are doing and what our chest cavity is doing. But in four-legged animals, they very tightly couple their breathing to their stride rate because of how they're physically structured and how their two front limbs assist the movement of their chest cavity. So they basically have no choice. They have to coordinate the two rhythms.
True. What if I'm doing bear crawls, though?
Yeah, if you were running with bear crawls, then you will tightly couple your breathing to your rhythm of your movement.
Cool. I don't really plan to do that in a race anytime soon, but maybe one day. You never know these days. Oh, man, we're trying all sorts of things.
Like swimmers will tightly, and cyclists will couple the rhythm of their movement to their breathing.
Interesting. Okay. So, you know, that leads me to, well, you said 5K, my favorite distance, guys, the 5K. I just I jump out of bed to do them. It's a joke, by the way. But they are actually imperative for anyone's training program. If, let's say, you're going for a specific marathon goal, and that's where the speed work comes into play. So I'm just going to give you guys a little bit of my background and why I found Jason and, you know, why I hired him as my coach. And now he's definitely mentors me in other ways. But I definitely did not apply speed work to my own running before. I coached myself basically to run more something more of an ultra marathon. There was just not enough involved in terms of, you know, any type of workout, any type of speed workout. I've never liked the track, full disclosure. So I use a lot of fartlek, work, just speed plays, very, very non-measurable, because I didn't really have a goal. But then I started coaching, and I just, over time after getting injured, I wanted to see what I could do. And so I knew Jason was, you know, is just an expert in this field. And he happened to be coached by Dak Daniels, not the alcohol, let me remind you. So, Jason, so, you know, how, just from a very basic standpoint, why do you think speed work is important for a distance runner?
Well, there's a couple of different issues with that, and it's important, number one, because you're always, no matter what the race is, you're always running at a given fraction of your maximum speed. You know, if you're slow at short races, there's no way you can be very fast at long ones, because a marathon can't be run only 30 seconds a mile slower than your 5K time. Even the best runners in the world don't do that. And So you have, everyone's got to have some kind of speed reserve, you know, especially if you, you want to get much faster for a marathon. You know, if you're going from, say, a four-hour marathon to a 3:30, it's not necessary. You can make that improvement just off of endurance work. But if you want to start to get under 3 hours, well under 3 hours, you know, then you have to have some speed reserve there. But I think it's also important because a lot of people, when they become runners, they gravitate right to the marathon without having any experience at the shorter races. And depending on what they want to get out of their marathon, if they're looking just to run a marathon just for the sake of running it and they don't care so much about their time, then that's fine. But if they're looking to get really faster for a marathon, then it's helpful to spend at least some time gaining a background of speed work. You know, and typically, when people start to become runners, you know, because the marathon, the half marathon had become so popular, they gravitate toward that right away. But for longer races, it may be better to train speed first and then train the endurance to sustain a high fraction of that speed, especially if the runner is not already fast for shorter races. If someone's already got great speed, and then they can spend time on the endurance and try to maintain a higher fraction of that speed. But if not, someone doesn't have the experience and they're not already fast, then it's worthwhile to spend some time on trying to become faster.
So what are some methods that you use to make someone become a faster 5K runner?
Well, it's just about the mix of the aerobic work and the anaerobic work. Most runners these days don't really have much experience with anaerobic training. For one thing, it's uncomfortable. And for another thing, people that they don't need to do 400s or 200s to train for a marathon. So they don't never do that kind of stuff.
So let's break it down a step further. Can you just rehash and go over what is anaerobic? What do you mean by that?
So humans have three different energy pathways that we produce energy for muscle contraction. And we all learn this in high school biology class. There are two anaerobic energy systems that make ATP, the energy currency of our muscle cells, without using oxygen. And then there is one big energy system that uses oxygen. It's called the aerobic system. A few other names that scientists use for it. But to train speed, you need to train the anaerobic energy systems. And there are two of them. One is used for very, very, very short races, you know, like 100 meters, 200 meters, or very explosive, a vertical jump. We use the short-term anaerobic energy system. And then the second energy system is the one that breaks down carbohydrates for energy, that's glycolysis. And that's more of the speed endurance energy system. So that's important for a 5K, important for a mile race. And so that's like running anywhere from 30 seconds to a minute and a half to 2 minutes, very, very fast. And then repeating those efforts where you cause acidosis, you drop the muscle pH, you cause acidosis in the muscle so that you respond to that and your body makes adjustments and adaptations so that you can run faster sometime later, 2 months later, 3 months later. You can run faster before developing the same degree of acidosis, because acidosis is a major thing that causes fatigue.
So by doing this, are you training your, like, what are you training? Are you training your lactate threshold? Are you like boosting your VO2 max? Like, are you, yeah, is it a combination of the both?
The main reason to do those kinds of workouts is to train that energy system. So you train the ability to produce ATP through anaerobic glycolysis. And one of the major ways you do that is by increasing the number of enzymes. Because enzymes control metabolism, whether you're talking about aerobic metabolism or anaerobic metabolism, enzymes control the rate at which chemical reactions occur. And so one of the adaptations to training is you make more enzymes. If you do a lot of aerobic training, you make more aerobic enzymes. If you do a lot of anaerobic training, you make more anaerobic enzymes so that you can flux through that energy system more quickly and you can make ATP more quickly. So in layman's terms, by focusing on anaerobic glycolysis, by doing those workouts, you break down carbohydrate more quickly to give you energy. And And the way you do that more quickly is by adding more things inside that muscle, the enzymes that catalyze these chemical reactions, so that the chemical reactions happen more quickly.
Yeah, very interesting. But like, isn't there a way also to train your body so that you're kind of reserving some of that glycogen in your muscle, so that over time you're not completely depleted and you're not tapping into fats as fuel?
Oh, well, that would be very long runs to force your muscles to rely on fat for energy.
So that's going to the endurance work.
Yeah, so that's important, but that's a completely different type of training. The anaerobic will force you to rely on carbohydrate.
Okay, cool. Well, so how would you take someone that, they really wanted to, let's say, break a 29-minute 5K. What would you work with them on?
Well, if they want to break a 29-minute 5K, you can do that on endurance, because that shows a lack of endurance. You don't necessarily need to do speed for that. The only reason you want to do speed first before the endurance is if someone who's really trying to get fast for a long race who doesn't have the speed behind them. So, like, for example, say you take someone who's run a 3:15 marathon, that's 7:26 per mile pace, and that person's goal is to run under 3 hours, so that's 6:52 mile pace. To go from 3:15 to sub 3 hours is going to take more than just an improvement in endurance. And say that person's 1 mile PR is 6:20. That means you can run a marathon 1 minute and 6 seconds per mile, slower than a mile time, which is that's pretty good. Most people can't run a marathon only 1 minute and 6 seconds per mile slower than their mile PR. So if you take someone who's 3:15 for a marathon, their mile PR is 6:20, but they can run 7:26 for a marathon. That's pretty good. But now if you want to get under 3 hours and your mile PR is only 6:20, you're not going to be able to run 6:52 pace to get under 3 hours, because that's only 6:20 to 6:50, that's only 32 seconds per mile difference. So that's not going to happen unless you get faster for the mile first. And that's what a lot of people, I think, miss. They think, well, they want to get faster for the marathon, but how are you going to do that unless you get faster for shorter races first? You see what I mean? So first you would have to improve the speed, because you're not going to be able to run a marathon only 32 seconds a mile slower than your 1 mile time. Even the best marathon in the world don't do that.
What about a half?
For a half, I mean, I'd have to do the math, but for a half, it's more possible, but it's still going to be hard. But yeah, if your mile PR is 6:20 and you want to run a half in, you'd have to do the math to figure out, like, how fast do you want to run the half? If you want to run a half in sub 130, yeah, you could probably do that off of a 6:20 mile PR. But if you want to run sub 120, well, no, then you're not going to be able to do that off of a 6 minute mile PR. I have to do the math in my head, but like a 1:18:40, I know that's a 6 minute pace for a half marathon. So to run 6 minute pace for a half marathon, which is a 1:18:40, you'd have to run a mile and faster than 5:30.
Yeah.
Much faster than 5:30 to run 6 minute pace for an hour and 18 minutes. So yeah, you do the math and play with it, but that's the whole point, is you got to sit and do it, because you got to sit down and do the math to figure out, well, if I want to run this time for a half marathon or marathon, how fast of a mile do I have to be able to run in order to be able to hold that kind of a pace for that long? And then you can work on the endurance. But again, it depends on the person's background and how much speed work they have in their background already. It depends on how fast or slow the person is to begin with. If you're already pretty fast, then, like I know with me, my endurance has always been what's lacking. I can't run a very fast marathon compared to how fast I could run a 1 mile. So I would take a different approach and work on my endurance if I wanted to approach a marathon. But most people these days, they go right to the marathon without having the speed background. So it'd be helpful to work on some speed first before they work on the endurance.
Yes, yes. And, you know, it's been, you know, interesting because I have been working with Jason on my speed. And, you know, I really didn't take it that seriously at first. And then I felt, you know, I felt things slowly changing in my running, in my races. I did a fitness assessment for a half and I got a 126 this past November. And then I just broke a 20 minute 5K, taking off a minute and 20 seconds from 8 months ago on the same course. So this actually does, you know, I mean, there's obviously science behind it, but it goes to say that, you know, someone that who is an endurance monster or stronger with their endurance base, like myself, needs the speed work, and someone like maybe Jason needs the opposite. So, you know, Jason, thank you so much for everything that you've done. And, you know, if to anyone listening on here, last question, what advice would you give them if they were just trying to run a marathon pain-free in terms of speed work? Like, how could that benefit them?
Well, and that's a completely different goal. I mean, then, you know, someone may not necessarily need to do the short, fast speed work if the goal is just to get through a marathon pain-free. I mean,
so we're sticking to speed work and we're talking about now injury prevention, not this performance standpoint.
Yeah, I wouldn't necessarily say that doing speed work will prevent a runner from getting injured. I've never seen anything to support that speed work can be used as an injury prevention tool. The main thing with injury prevention is to just whatever you're doing, whether it's speed or endurance, to take a very methodical approach so that you're not increasing the stress too quickly. And speed work has its own set of stress. So if you're going to include that in someone's program, you have to do it very carefully because people can get injured off of the intensity if they're not used to the intensity. So
yeah,
want to work out.
But you know, so you would recommend someone go and just run at, you know, steady state pace, easy pace for 5-6 days a week versus maybe doing a little fartlek plays or some speed work maybe 1 or 2 days a week?
Well, everything has its place. So I mean, initially you take somebody off the couch and they're starting to run. Yeah, maybe easy running is all that they can handle and all that they should do.
Or if they just don't know better.
Right? Yeah, I mean, that's why you have different phases of training and you do different kinds of training at different phases of the year. But initially, I mean, it depends on who you're working with and what their background of running is and how much of a beginner versus how much of an advanced runner they are. But yeah, initially, I would just work on having them get used to, if they're coming off the couch and they're not doing anything, I would just get them used to the act of running.
And for someone that just is a pretty seasoned runner, but just doesn't know better.
Yeah, then I would include other types of training in the program, depending on what they need and what their goals are. There's no one answer to that. That's why you can't just, you know, make a general statement because it's a lot more complicated than that.
No, I know. I guess what I was trying to get at more was, like, you know, does speed work at all enhance running form, running economy over time? If the goal is to finish a marathon without, you know, tearing a hamstring or something like of that sort, but not maybe that extreme.
Again, I don't know that speed work can prevent running injuries from, you know, marathon training, but it certainly can help improve the application of force against the ground and the running mechanics. Sometimes fast running cleans up a lot of mechanics that you don't get when you're just running slow and easy. So you can inject speed work into a program for other reasons as well, like cleaning up of running mechanics, but still, I mean, it's hard for somebody who doesn't have proper running mechanics just to tell them to go run faster. That alone is not going to clean things up. You have to do drill work with them. And
mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's like you don't have a pianist who wants to clean up their musical, dexterity. You don't just say, okay, here, play Beethoven, because Beethoven is now going to clean up all of the little mistakes that you made. I mean, it's not that simple. That may not be a great analogy, but the...
You're talking to a pianist right now. I mean, are you sure?
But you have to learn a certain thing. Then you take those, drills, and then you apply it to running fast.
No, but that makes sense. That makes sense.
But having said that, yes, faster running can help somebody with their mechanics and how they apply force to the ground.
Yes. That's very valuable. And also, it also has its own toning benefits too. It's more of a workout, more of like HIIT and running. Anyone on here who loves to run and just thinks that running isn't a sport, maybe that's absolutely not the case. It's just maybe you need to diversify your running program a little bit to make it that way. Yeah. So, Jason, is there anything else you would like to leave everyone with here today?
That you should train with the whole continuum of speeds, regardless of what race you're training for, that you should train from very, very slow to very, very fast to become a complete runner and work all the different energy systems. And, most people gravitate to the longer races and they do a lot of slow running, especially as they get older. But the intensity is very important.
Why is intensity important?
Well, I could spend all day talking about the importance of intensity in a training program. But let's just say that you need to train. In order to be a complete runner, regardless of the race you're training for, you need to be able to train all three energy systems. You don't want to just train one energy system all the time and neglect the other ones. I mean, even something like VO2max is affected by anaerobic energy systems because VO2max has an anaerobic component to it because it's an intensity that falls above the lactate threshold.
Sounds like metabolic conditioning for runners.
Well, everything. I mean, even slow running is metabolic conditioning because you're conditioning the aerobic metabolism. So, yeah, that's
just working all three systems. Yes.
That's a word that gets used a lot in the fitness industry, but even slow running is metabolic conditioning.
Of course.
Conditioning of a different metabolism.
All the metabolisms. Well, thank you so, so much for, hopping on here very last minute and, talking about, about where you would incorporate speed and what it's useful for and the different times and, how you progress someone from a 5K to a marathon and, how it doesn't make sense to think that you're going to run a certain time if you can only get a 6:20 mile, per se, when if you have, a specific goal of breaking a sub-3 from a 3:15 marathon, for example, a whole bunch of good stuff in here. So thank you again, Jason, for joining.
You're welcome. Great.
It was a pleasure having you. Yes. And, for everyone else who's listening, thank you so much. This episode will be up tomorrow, the 16th of December. Wow, this year has flown. And I will be posting in my Instagram stories once it's available for you guys to listen to. And other than that, Jason, have a great day. Thanks so much for joining again and hope to see you soon.
Great. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
Don't forget to become a member on my website to get updates on my weekly new special episodes on the show, sharing fun running feats, training methodologies, and all things running related to help you keep your running fun. Reference the link in the show notes to become a member of the Run with Ally community so you can connect with other like-minded individuals who love running just as much as you do. Again, do not forget to subscribe to the show by clicking the Follow Plus button, Apple Podcasts, or subscribing on whichever platform you're listening to the show on. Please leave a review under the episode in whichever directory you're listening to the show in so I can better provide you with the top-notch content I strive to deliver you week in and week out. Thank you again for listening to Run with Ally Live. If you are looking for the perfect solution to finish your first marathon injury-free, even if you've tried to get in shape in the past and failed, sign up and get access to your free 24-week program now by clicking in the link in the show notes under this episode. Sign up now. All you need to submit is your email, and I'll see you on the inside. Thank you so much for listening to Run with Allie Live. See you next time.